listening to Inclusive AF with Jackie Clayton and Katie Van Horn.
Can you continue that song for me, please?
Can you? I think we should just sing the whole episode.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and apologize in advance to all of our listeners.
We want to say hello to our millions of fans. Welcome to the Inclusive AF podcast. My name is Jackie Clayton.
And this is Katie Van Horn.
And we are not singers.
And we're not singers, folks. Just
at all.
Yeah. Just clarifying that right up at the top of the episode. I'm really busy right now, Jackie. I am ordering Pizza Hut because you forced me to.
Listen, everybody's got to eat.
Everyone has to eat. But like, I guess what I want to know is like, do you order this triple chocolate brownie or the cinnamon sticks as well? Like, I mean, there's so many things to consider. I just don't know.
Yeah. And the chocolate chip cookie, fabuloso.
I would probably go with the triple chocolate brownie if I had my druthers. If I was feeling like ordering that type of thing. Oh, I can get and why do they have Pepsi and not Coke?
You literally have to stop talking about Pizza.
All right, focus, Katie, focus. All right. So what I want to talk about today, Jackie, is return to work. But I want to talk about it from the perspective of all these people that keep saying, let's do it, and why that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And what they should do instead with their lives.
With their whole lives. I just think it's important. People need to recognize that for some people, especially marginalized people, work from home has been awesome.
For every person. It's been awesome.
There's got to be some people who aren't into it. I just don't know why.
They should just go away.
Yeah, just join a club. Like we're saying, go to a gym, the YMCA.
Okay, so let's truly discuss. So getting back into the work. So I actually had a conversation with someone the other day. She's in New York City. She actually is out of New York City. She moved to the suburbs. And part of the reason why she moved to the suburbs was because COVID. And so she's like, hey, this is our chance because everyone's working from home. Well, then now she's looking for a new job because her company has decided we're going back to the office. And like, what's the tipping point for a company to say, you know, this actually doesn't make sense to force people to come back to the office and, you know, force them to be kumbayaing in an office if they don't want to be. And then, you know, we've had this lifestyle change now for what, 2+ years, if not more.
And you don't even recognize people when you go back to work.
Right. and I'm not wearing pants. I'm not wearing pants ever. You cannot force me to.
No.
Joggers only.
That's right.
Joggers only for the rest of my life.
No.
I think that's a good idea. But I mean, the thing is, it's like the only people who are saying that are like people on the exec team, like, oh, I'm so excited to see the whole gang back together again. And what we found out during the last couple of years in the before times is that it's not really a family.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's more like a family than we'd like to admit, some families.
But, okay, pause right there for a moment. If you are in HR, or any of the people functions, so TA, whatever it might be, stop saying that your company's like a family, please.
Yeah, please don't.
Please stop it immediately, because they're not a family. It's a place of business.
That's right. I would say it's like a community.
It could be a community. Community works.
It's
that's
not
fine.
A family.
No.
It I just shouldn't feel like, be.
No. I just feel like when people say that, it kind of makes me feel a certain way because it worries me because there's a connotation there that like how you interact with your family, either you go super casual because it's your family.
Right.
So I'm going to touch you or I'm going to do the things or I'm going to whatever. And it's cool. We're family. Or we're going to go out drinking and we're going to do things that we shouldn't do together as workmates because we're all family. We're drinking together.
Unearned loyalty.
Oh, Yeah.
My family is not going to just fire me when things get tough.
Yeah, they will.
But it's like, well, if you were my family, why would you say, oh, we might not make as much money next week. So instead of trying to make it work, I'm going to just throw you out on the street.
Right.
And it's not very family-like to pull people into the office that are appreciating that
they don't want to be there.
Or maybe that is like family. That's exactly like family. It's like your freaking cousin's wedding. Like, I don't want to freaking go. But I have to because it's my cousin and we're family.
You have to come to Easter. You have to come to Easter, Christmas, even if you don't want to go.
Yeah, because your family.
Yeah. You're going to spend a lot of money on your therapist because your family. Oh, wait. Oh, only me? Oh, just me? Oh, sorry.
Am I the drama? But it's like, it's the thought of it. Don't even try to make it into a family. You can't. We don't have that close of a relationship. You are not my brother and my sister. I'm only going to give you so much. And trust me, you don't want people acting like that.
No.
You'll have fights in the middle of the living room, people fighting over the remote control, stealing mm-hmm. your food and your clothes.
But I also think the family thing is also interesting to me because I think for the longest time, and I think we all, I mean, every single person probably listening to this, every person that's been in the workforce has felt this way. You spend so much time at the physical office that there is this, I spend more time here than with my own family. You know, like
that's why though, because you hate your family. That's why your work shouldn't be family.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is like, I think that the whole idea of people coming back on site and working from the office, there is this piece of it that's the, I don't have a social life or I don't have anything outside of this workplace. So I'm going to call you family. And I'm not saying that like, oh, you're, you know, a big jerk face if that's the case. I think that's what we have been groomed to do in the workforce is that you do have your social, you meet your husband or wife or whatever partner in the office. And that, you know, how many stories do we know about that? Because that was where you spent the majority of your time.
Yes.
And that's also where you kind of lean towards the family thing. And, you know, you're on the softball team for the office or whatever. But I think there's just a certain thing. And for me, there's also the piece kind of talking about, you know, the equity piece. There is the, I would rather have everyone on a call versus like some people in the office, some people at home, because that just creates an equitable environment where people on the phone aren't going to get heard. And, you know, it's just not an equitable environment. And so that's the other piece for me, just from a pure logistics perspective, but it's not a family.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcast and now available on YouTube.
It's absolutely not. And right now we're seeing, like, I think I read a statistic, but it was just talking about the amount of people that don't want to go back into the office that they had surveyed. It was like 70%. But then there's organizations like mine at Textio, where we're like a fully distributed team. Mm-hmm. We don't have a headquarters. We're not remote. We are distributed, and there is a difference. And I think it's really important that we go back to making sure that our employees are okay. And this just is exactly why people hate being in a corporate environment, because it's like, you're forcing me to do something I don't want to do. You're forcing me to do something because it benefits you, not because it benefits me. And so I think, you know, we do need to look at distributed versus remote, like not an organizational mindset, but more of a, you know, like an arrangement. When you're distributed, you have to think of a new way of collaboration to get things done. It's not just remote. And some people just haven't been able to figure it out, and they need to.
Right.
Instead of saying it's going to be better. And because I can't imagine an office is going to be 100%. back in the office. Somebody's not coming back.
Well, and I think, you know, I do like some of the environments that they're doing, like a hybrid situation where it's like you can come in, you don't have to come in, that kind of thing, which, hey, that's great. But there is still that piece of why are you even having this conversation? Like, it's also like so many companies got rid of buildings, got rid of certain things like that.
Yes.
And so there's also that piece where I'm like, how is this going to work? So
why do you want to pay money in an office and you don't know how many spaces to have?
Right. But I will say, and so we're doing this at my office. We are doing a stipend, an internet stipend, which I think is a great way to just like, again, kind of equalize the playing field a little bit. But we're not planning on ever bringing folks into an office. Like, we have a corporate office in California, but that's not the plan. And I love that because, well, A, I don't want to move to California.
Right.
But B, I like that we're able to recruit from so many different states. Yes. We haven't looked outside of the US yet, which I need to, we're working on that. But I love the idea of, you know, we are in all, like all of the corners of the US at this point and now kind of working our way in. And that also just helps from a diversity perspective. Like, we're getting these amazing female engineers. We're getting these amazing people that are just coming in the door that we probably would never have even considered. And, you know, I think that's the piece too, that it's the consideration of folks that, you know, we just, as you know, we just talked to our friend last night, Robin, we love you. And she was talking about her husband, you know, having a job from his, from home that, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, he wouldn't have been able to work from home. And like what, like how that has been just a game changer for them that he's able to do this from home. And I think that's the piece too, that it's the, who are you missing out on? It goes back to diversity for me from a, who are you missing out on?
Yes. And it's, who are you missing out on? And what is your impact within the community? I mean, it's like my favorite joke walking around town in Waco when people are like, oh, where do you work? And I'm like, oh, my company started in Seattle. 50% are in Seattle and the other 50% are evenly distributed. And it's like, I just spend my money here.
Right.
And there's, you can change a full community. It's not just the one person. Besides giving them a wage and giving them an opportunity to get a job that they don't have locally. Because I live in, you know, Waco, Texas. And there isn't, it isn't the next Silicon Valley.
It is not.
It is not the, it's not the next Silicon Plain.
It is not the next Silicon Terrace.
And no. I work at startup software companies. That's my shtick, but I do it from here. And I think both, I think I'm an asset to other organizations because I have a certain skill set that's really valuable, but I also have the skill set of working for remote and have the benefit of had been working remote for about 10 years. So I get
And also you have the skill set of being from a small town.
Yep.
Knowing how to do recruiting in a different way, because you have to think about different ways of recruiting folks when you are in a small town.
Right. Because they're not here.
So, yeah.
That skill set isn't here. And it's just like, people don't think about, you can have a bigger impact. Like, it's really great if you want to support, you know, all these different communities or owners or get vendors that come from underrepresented groups. But how about just Detroit?
Like, right.
You can change and have an impact on that community.
Right. And what an impact it will be. Like, to your point, I mean, like, I'm going to use Waco as the example. Okay. So, you know, obviously Chip and Joanna have their show there.
They do.
And what an influx of humans you've had into Waco.
Right.
Bringing in jobs, bringing in money, bringing in, even if they're remote workers. And I watched the show, as you know, avidly, and there have been so many folks that has been, you know, I work at for such and such company or whatever it might be, and I'm going to now work remotely from here. And they build these amazing homes and then they spend their money in the community, similar to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I'm like, why would you not want that? Like, and
we have none of the traffic. Whatever. I mean, they're about to have a whole network, a whole news network here. And what's cool and what's kind of funny when you do live in a small town is like, there was an organization, it was for startups in Waco, and they were giving headshots. And the photographers are like, oh yeah, we were recruited. We came from LA for Chip and Joe, and we worked on, you know, cinematography for this and that. And now we just want to stay, but we're not going to be working for them anymore. And so you get like, oh, I've got this fancy pants photographer taking my picture that wouldn't normally right. do that, or just different connections to different things.
Right.
But I feel like you really do. If you have a brick and mortar, you also don't realize how limited you are by the talent. Mm-hmm. Because right. you only do have that community. Like you, there's full technologies. When I was doing research on Python, which is a, you know, technology and a lot of people are using for AI software. Mm-hmm. And a majority of people that use software are on the West Coast and in within the Silicon Valley region. And so if that's something that you are using, your resources are limited if you go into a brick and mortar and right. you're in, you know, Indiana. Where are you going to get the people from?
Where are you going to find the people? And I think that is the piece that also like keeps coming up is people are looking for very specific skill sets. And unless you're in a Silicon Valley, unless you're in one of these fancy schmancy, you know, New York, wherever it might be, not fancy schmancy, but you know what I'm saying? Why not open up the playing field? That's also where you're going to get more diversity. And yep. I don't know. I know I'm an odd duck when it comes to things like this, because I just want to get good people.
Yes. Oh,
but adios, okay. Mio. So ay, Dios mío. So other than like, okay, return to work, what are the other things? Like, so I think, you know, obviously the actual location, so many people close their offices or shutter their doors or whatever. And yes. you're like, that has to be an expense, a capital expense that folks want off the books. So why not let folks work from home? But I also, let's talk, you know, you mentioned kind of upfront and then I poo-pooed you, but the leveling the playing field from the, you know, people of color, underrepresented people don't want to go back into the office. Yeah. And I want to dig in on that a little bit and tell me why.
Because like, it's funny, I can work at home by myself and I don't feel othered. I might be the only or in different situations, but it didn't feel like that. Like I, you know, had an opportunity to feel comfortable because I was in my own space, which makes a big difference rather than feel like have that representation every day of being the only or feeling othered or marginalized. It's a lot of underrepresented, because it's not just being Black. It's also being damn near 50 and I don't want to go to a happy hour after work every day, or I don't want to shoot with all the people, or I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I might as well do some work and I could figure it out later. You know, that's part of what I can appreciate, where my work can stand for me. And it's not all of those extracurriculars and political games that people have at organizations that I have to do in order to fit in. I think that's a big thing.
Yes. And I what I'm wondering, and I mean, I'm hopefully someone from like HBR or somewhere is doing this study. I am curious to see how this will impact promotions.
Yes.
Because we know that historically it's been the squeaky wheel. It's been, you know, whoever has gone out to those happy hours that no one really wants to go to.
Right.
It's all of those things. And so it is how is that going to impact promotions if everyone has the level playing field of working from home?
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.
Right.
And
right.
I'm hoping it will.
I'm hoping it will have an impact. But I also think, you know, I know we had this discussion early on in the pandemic of, you know, don't make people turn on their cameras and don't make people show their homes, you know, because some people are working from an office that is really their bedroom or whatever it might be. And, you know, I think that's such an interesting concept too, because that I think has shifted where people are like, no, let's all be on camera. And I prefer it more from the, I just want to see people's faces. Right now I have a blank wall behind me, but that is soon to change. I think there's tools, and I'm glad that Zoom and Teams and some of these others have created tools that block out your background so you can still be on camera without showing off your unmade bed.
You know what?
You know,
I will tell you, I do have a bias. It freaks me out when people, their office is in their bedroom. I'm always like,
why?
Because I'm always like, what are you doing? Like, is that your bedroom? I feel weird. I don't know. And I know some people don't have that space. I do. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Like, if you were in the office, right? If you were in the office, you couldn't just like hide behind a wall. At some point, you gotta see people, right?
And I think that's a piece that is also, it's just interesting because, yeah, it is. How do you shift that narrative? I don't think it's weird if someone's calling from their bedroom, because I just am all like, hey, just wherever you can land. And I think it's also because so many of our friends, both people in the couple, if they are married or are together with someone, both of them are working from home. And so it's like, well, hey, the office is being occupied by my significant other and I'm over here in the bedroom just trying to take calls. So right. I don't think that's like, for me, it wasn't a big deal. So I don't have that bias, but I think for me, it's just, I'm such a connector from the, like, I want to look in someone's eyes.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing for me, but like the, what's actually behind them, other than that, when they have a really cool belief sign or when they have a executive producer that comes and pops it every once in a while. I'm a little shocked. I haven't seen him today, but that's okay.
Yeah. The executive producer is doing something to the grass. I don't know. We'll see. Stay tuned. It should be exciting.
Okay. Okay. Please, please keep all of us posted. We are all very riveted.
Yes.
Anything else you want to say about working from home versus being in the office?
I just think that you should do a survey and like give people the option. There are people, just consider that there are some people that don't feel comfortable going back to the office or feel more comfortable having the opportunity to work from home. And the thing is, it's like, I feel like you're going to have a little bit more retention, especially those that don't want to go back to the office. They're not. Okay. They're just,
no,
they're right. Not. They're voting with their feet.
Yes.
And they're going to leave.
You're going to lose really good people because the very amazing folks have changed their life. And I know they're like, oh, from a production perspective, the production has gone down. If you trust your people and you hire good people, that's not going to be an issue. And, you know, it's the, I am all about like, look at outputs versus like, hey, are they working from between these hours? Like flexibility overall is such a huge piece. And so like, just that's, I know we were going to, you know, chat about like benefits and perks at some point, but that's one of the things that I like, that for me is like flexible time, like just work when you can work and get your work done. Like, that's all I really care about, which I don't think is the same. I don't think everyone feels the same way. I'm just like, hey, get it done. That's all.
I mean, all right. I think there's some places that are going to, and there are some places where they want to go back to work, but do it for your people. Like, figure out what's going to make the most sense for you. Don't do it because some other company is doing it.
Right. Amen. Yes. Agreed. So summary of the story, do a survey, ask questions that are not biased or leading the witness in that survey. And listen to your employees. Do it. What else? Anything else you want folks to hear from this episode?
I love you. I always have. I always will.
All right. It's time for Pizza Hut, people. We've got to go. Very important stuff. All right. Thank you for listening. This is Katie Van Horn.
And this is Jackie Clayton. Bye.
Bye.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.